Good morning. Today is Monday, March 18th, 2019, and you're listening to KBOO, your community radio station, 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis in Albany, 90.7 on the World Wide Web, and this is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. We are talking about transportation this morning, and we have some activists with us from the Portland chapter of the Grey Panthers.
Correct.
Edie and Lou, and they have been working and strenuously in recent months observing how TriMet works, and they are here today to enlighten us in terms of this this public-private entity that controls so much of our lives, and so there's going to be some explanation and some sharing of news. And let me give you our phone numbers so that you may join our conversation. You may call us in the studio here at 503-231-8187. Thank you, Edie, and thank you, Lou, for joining us.
Thanks for doing the program, Cecil.
So first, could you tell us something about your organization, some information?
Sure. For a long time at Portland State, there's been a group of activists who've organized Transit Riders Union. And more recently, Edie, Sally, I, and some other organizers have formed a Portland chapter of Grey Panthers. Grey Panthers was founded by Maggie Kuhn in the 70s. She wanted to advocate for older folks for equity issues. We've focused to some extent recently and over time on TriMet. TriMet's a pretty central, well-funded government agency. It has between, depending on the year, a $500 million budget and over $1 billion budget. It's controversial on several fronts, racial profiling, the board of directors not being elected but appointed, and more recently, the proposed cuts to 4 MAC stops downtown, because the current general manager, Doug Kelsey, feels that it's important to make the trains run faster. At the last TriMet board meeting, which I was able to go to, people, older vendors who had been at Saturday Market, for example, for 20 or 30 years, really, really did not want their stop cut back.
Excellent. Edie, you have been working very, very hard on these issues. Why should a person who lives in Corvallis be concerned about this?
We all breathe the same air, we all have the same water, and we all are affected by state taxes and federal taxes. And we're all affected by the expectation and the actuality, if there is any, of democracy. And so what we do in Portland affects the rest of the state, the Northwest, the United States, and the atmosphere. So we need to cut down on global climate change. We need to inspire the world with actual, factual equity to counter the existing problem that oppresses people of color, low income, disabled, elderly, trans, political activists. And by showing a TriMet or a public transit system that can inspire the nation and the world on equity, on sustainability, on local livable economy, that brings solutions that have been research-based other places, but also creating new research data with the solutions that we have that could take up more time than our meeting.
Excellent. And you are listening to More Talk Radio. I am Cecil. I'm here with transit activists, Edie and Lou from the Grey Panthers. They are here to share some information and to invite you to not only their actions, but also coming meetings around TriMet in the coming weeks. So you both have mentioned several important issues. So maybe if we can just begin and we'll expand our conversations about how, what does it mean to work for a not only a transit system, which embodies sustainability and equity in many, many ways, but how do we transform our region to more accurately reflect our values. Let's begin with Lou. I think you mentioned early on in your opening statements about the proposals that TriMet has to eliminate stations in downtown.
Correct.
And why is that important? Downtown, you know, for the casual observer, there's like, I don't know how many stops downtown, and I need to get from, I need to get to Hillsborough, and I don't need to stop all those stops in downtown.
Well, that's certainly what Doug Kelsey, the $200,000 a year TriMet manager, argues, who's proposing, and hasn't been enacted yet, you know, they're deciding over the next 2 or 3 months, is that, in fact, I was just talking to someone at a coffee shop across from Kebu before we came in today, who was saying in Japan, where he was, the trains go a lot faster. And so those of us who are concerned with equity and democracy and transparency with TriMet think that as a public government agency, it needs to serve the commons, the public interest, and in particular, disenfranchised populations. So, for example, at the last TriMet board meeting, like I was saying, there were probably 10 older women vendors, and we're Grey Panther organizers, so we wanted to listen to them. Some of them said they had been vendors for 30 or 40 years, and they felt Saturday Market would be incredibly negatively impacted by eliminating that stop. Part of the issue with TriMet has been over time, especially with Bernie Bottomley, who's the public affairs director and used to work at Portland Business Alliance. He works for TriMet now. He was instrumental in eliminating Fairless Square a few years ago. But part of TriMet's thing is that particular TriMet stop, there, it's under the Burnside Bridge. Okay. And so any of us who ride that MAX know that, especially when it's rainy and cold, a lot of houseless people use that space as a place that's dry and fairly safe.
So let me just get some understanding. So the proposal is to eliminate a stop where...
Four specific stops.
A stop I'm asking for, sure, is the stop you mentioned is in terms of where Saturday Market
and
is.
And Lincoln High School and two other stops.
The Saturday Market stop is where there are vendors there from March to December.
Correct.
And it has, my understanding, it has become a place that people go to. So why would TriMet want to eliminate that stop? You mentioned why, I think you began to mention,
sure,
why, but it seems to me on the surface at least that you would want a stop right there where people can come and buy stuff from local vendors.
Right. Well, but local vendors and small businesses should be supported, kind of what we're talking about in terms of sustainability. The rationale cited over time and by Doug Kelsey, the general manager at TriMet, is that I guess suburban riders, you mentioned, I think, Beaverton or someone from the outlying area, in Portland.
I said Hillsborough.
But that they want to go fast, that they don't necessarily need to stop in downtown. And one of the main critiques of TriMet is that it apparently takes a long time compared to cars or compared to maybe other transit systems.
And I think a simple solution for that, I don't want the trains or the buses to travel at faster speeds. I want them to get to their next stop and destination sooner. And we do that by having it free fare. We're not wasting time with inspections, with fumbling, with cars or machines that don't work. More people can enter and exit multiple doors at the same time. We're not wasting the money on the fare inspectors who are really going after people of color and low income or people that they think might be young or, you know, politically active. We're not wasting money on a jail. We can be much faster at getting to the destination. There's two different ways. In addition to the free fare, we can have better routing. We can make sure we don't have buses turning left, for example, that's a safety issue. And we can also have certain times in buses that are what we have now express, like to go to Oregon City. You don't have all the multiple stops. So during commute times, there can be express routes. But always having free fare and having more racks for bicycles can speed up the process. And we can have more buses and more trains going that would be funded by having the big development of these big monster for millionaires coming in, paying for the development, instead of us punishing those who are doing a public good of using public transit, cleaning the air, making it safer, having more livability, having more justice. We need to incentivize people to do good by having free rides. But we also need to recoup some of the costs that are done to society and the environment by having cars and trucks. So we'd have the gas, the trucks, not the drivers, but the organizations of Uber and Lyft pay, having the big trucking companies pay, having the people who are doing the asphalt and those that are doing the harm pay. We are having incredible costs, people getting birth defects, early onset, dementias, autism, et cetera, from the diesel poisoning. We're having horrible harm from the methane and the carbon dioxide pollution from transport. So we could have it better funded, more fairly funded, having free fare, and get to our destination sooner.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're speaking with Edie and Lou from Portland chapter of the Grey Panthers and about TriMet, the local public transportation system in the Portland metropolitan area.
And since so much of the stuff interacts, because of good transit policy, we have better housing, we have better health, we have better sustainability, better economy, and better justice and democracy. We can also make sure that the resistance to people who are poor, people who are considered houseless, well, if we have free public toilets, and if we have free sanitation, solar showers, they're having local workers who are unhoused be able to work there. And if we are having public lockers, then we're not going to have that problem. If we have better housing legislation, then we're not going to have as many people forced into houselessness. And we need to also just learn to embrace and care for each other and the diversity of us, instead of just saying that we're all entitled to be with rich, sweet-smelling white people of a certain agenda.
Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. We're speaking about TriMet. Let's go to our first caller. Paul, good morning.
Paul, hey, good morning.
Yes, Paul.
In my earphones. Are you there?
Yes, we are, Paul.
Hi. Yeah, my comment, I don't know who was speaking, but there was a comment about people getting stopped for fares, and I've never seen anybody get stopped. That's one thing. No. And I see a lot of people enter, say, the MAX station without paying. I see a lot of people get on the trains without paying anything anyway. I don't know if I could say a majority, but maybe 50%. The thing about the stops, the number of stops, I think I'd give some leeway for people who don't have a lot of energy and really can't walk that far, get cold. You know, people who are houseless. Really, if you're out there, you know what I'm talking about. But that's about it. I don't know about a fareless system, how that works, but I don't see a lot of people paying for it now. So that's really all I have to comment on.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Edie, Lou, reflections?
Well, currently, of the apparently $500 million budget in TriMet, 80% is funded by taxes. So only 20% comes from riders. Many transit activists in Portland feel that it would be, as Edie was suggesting, one of the ways to decrease congestion and actually make the system work better is to not have people fumbling if you've got groceries, if you're a person in a wheelchair or have a cane. This is also an argument why not to cut stops like at Saturday Market. It might even bring on a lawsuit with ADA because disabled people aren't able to be as mobile and as quick and fast to get to a stop that's way down the line. I think the second thing that you were saying was pretty valid. As far as people evading, there's a whole question about whether the fare inspectors actually do anything. Roughly, it looks like they have about a $10 million budget. There are a lot of actual police officers who work with TriMet as fare inspectors. You may already know about, there was a lawsuit that was successfully won, brought in conjunction with six ACLU attorneys by Anna Valderrama, who's an activist in Portland. Her sister's she's actually on a school board, David Douglas. And this was about the idea of the random checking by fare inspectors. And they do check constantly. Their argument is it's profiling houseless people and profiling riders of color. And in this case, she was stopped, cited, and she took TriMet to court. And basically, the ruling by the court, which was supported by 13 Portland area legislators, including Alyssa Kenny Geyer, was that it was unlawful search and seizure without without substantial cause. There's no reasonable cause to just randomly distrust and profile writers. So I'm not sure if that addresses the concerns you mentioned.
Well, yeah, that's good. I did think of one other thing is that. That the hospital, OHSU, up on the hill, you mentioned ADA. I find it just terrible getting up there by public transit. And it seems like, is there a war going on between the city and OHSU on the hill?
That's a good question. I myself have gone to ophthalmology on the hill at OHSU, and they've reconfigured where the buses stop. It's a good. I think that's a research question to answer that specific point.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Go now. Thank you. Bye.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we are speaking with representatives of Grey Panthers this morning, and about TriMet. Let's go to our next caller. Holden. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, I just had a quick thing to say about the reduction of stops, which is that, having stops set far apart is definitely going to be a major inconvenience to anyone with low mobility and just to the general public. And we also have a lot of tourists here. So people need stops in places that they're actually going to want to go. The real issue isn't the fact that we need less stops. It's that Max is just it's cute. It's not a real major rail transit system. Anyone that's visited Asia or parts of Europe will understand that. And so trying to say, oh, we're going to do these simple things to make it faster. Yeah, it's really slow. Everyone knows it's really slow. And that it is what it is. And I'm not saying this to your guests. I'm saying this as just a matter of fact. Everyone knows it's slow, and that's okay. If you're going to have a real rail transit system, then that's a major public investment, something that obviously Portland and Oregon cannot do alone. If you're going to do that, then we have to do that as a society and maybe start as a city or as a state. But if you're not, don't. It's utterly silly from a personal point of view to say you're just going to remove stops, which is going to really inconvenience everyone. So that's all I have to say.
No, that's good comments. Were you going to say something, Edie? D.C. and New York City are places I've been where they have quote-unquote faster real trains. MAX is considered light rail. It's a good question about ADA in particular. Why are they pushing it through or attempting to push it through? Students from Lincoln High School do not want their stop eliminated. I think that part of it is the hiring practices and accountability of the board of directors of TriMet. Doug Kelsey was hired a year ago. One of the board members, Reverend Dr. T. Allen Bethel, objected to that hiring process. He got outvoted 6-1. He's worked on a lot of social justice issues in Portland for about 10 years. There was recently a listening session at his church on police accountability. But we've seen that because the board's appointed, not elected, board members that'll support riders, like the Rider Advocacy Program, Fearless Square, having owl buses, 24-hour service like bigger cities, that those individual board members have been unable to get four of the seven appointed board members to vote together. So, for example, Lynn Lehrbach was with the Teamsters, and he voted with Transit Riders with us. I was treasurer of, and still treasurer of, Transit Riders Union. I gave 1,400 signatures on petitions to the unelected TriMet board to keep Fairless Square. Lynn on the board voted with us, but he was outvoted 6-1, and then he left the board as well. So trying to have accountability and transparency with TriMet seems somewhat difficult. Even in Los Angeles, the mayor of LA is on the transit board in LA. So there's some accountability from an elected official.
I want to also let people know that TriMet has a board meeting, which is Wednesday, March 27th, 9 a.m. at the TriMet Center on Salmon. And I really would encourage you to be there. They also have different organizations, different committees that are supposedly bringing in feedback from different folks. And so we've got 4 p.m. for the Portland Grey Panthers at Chit Chat this Saturday. But with TriMet, there is 6 to 7:30 on the 28th. And there is on the 20th, 9 to 12, the 21st, 6 to 7:30. And then there is the Bus Riders Unite of Opal, organizing people and activating leaders, 6 to 7:30 in the Tiger Library, back to TriMet. They have meetings on April 4th, 5:30 to 7:30, April 9th, 10th, and 11th at different times. So you can go to the TriMet. And you can also look at Transit Riders Union, Opal, Bus Riders Unite, and look at the Transit Justice Alliance to find out ways in which you can have more of a say on what's happening. Right now we have Oregon House Bill 2017 that went into effect January 2019 about bringing in some more U.S. And state highway dollars on our expanding our TriMet system. We want to make sure that it's going to be more fair. We don't want to have a methane gas and propane gas vehicles that are polluting and doing far more harm than carbon dioxide does. We want to have solar-powered vehicles, and we want to have the solar panels that have the glass that not only is much more effective at taking in solar light and artificial light, but also the vibration from the vehicles and the vibration from the rain or participation on it to create electricity, and have an emphasis on equity. You talked about Corvallis, Cecil. If we can have more people who are being housed out of Portland, overpriced, be able to have free transit to come into Portland, have more educational opportunities, then they're going to be able to more qualify for OSU. They're going to be able to bring more wealth of experience and perspective from different cultural live, and they will be able to enrich OSU and Corvallis with the better economies, better solutions that we need to have by riding transit together. We get to know each other. By coming to more places, we can be more inclusive and come up with solutions we're not having in our segregated society as it is.
That's a density of information. If people visit your website, can they find links to all of this information so they have a easier time digesting it?
Sure. For Grey Panthers, we're on Facebook. So mm-hmm. if people look for Portland Grey Panthers, they'll find the Portland branch, the current Portland branch of Grey Panthers. There's also, but some people are boycotting Facebook, which Edie's
No, I can't find it when I look it up.
Right, right. But uh-huh. I find it every time I look for it.
Is it
so.
G-R-E-Y or G-R-A-Y?
A-Y.
Okay, there we go.
A-Y.
And
there's also an email ad and phone number contact info I can give
there
you.
There we
if
go, low-tech.
Email. Right, I'm low tech as well. Email is letters and numbers. It's okay. POB, like post office box, but the letters POB 40011 at juno.com, JUNO.
Okay.
And for phone number, there's voicemail if you don't get a live person. Voicemail and phone number is 503 222 2974. And as Edie mentioned, there's also a meeting at Portland State this coming Saturday at 4 p.m. It's at PSU Chit Chat Cafe, which is next to Hot Lips Pizza. It's on Green Max. It's a block off of Southwest Broadway. And this meeting will be about TriMet and organizing and doing coalition work.
Good, good. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 if you're in points east, like White Salmon, Washington. In the south, along the Willamette River Valley, it is 104.3. And of course, everywhere, it is www.kboo.portland. .fm. I've got Portland on the mind. Phone number is 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning. What I have to say is not nearly as important as solar-operated buses and transit equity.
Okay, Claudia, are you on a cell phone by chance?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. It was a little metallic interference
okay.
there.
Sorry about what can I say? It's an iPhone. I like the way us over 55s, we're called honored citizens on our monthly passes instead of decrepit wrecks and so on.
Absolutely.
So that's a plus. But, you know, when it comes to fare inspection, I was on a Max once and I showed him my HC pass, and the fare inspector said, "No, you know, you stole that. You're too young to have."
And well, that's a judgment HC call on their part, well, and I hope you filed a complaint.
I show all sorts of ID to prove that I was indeed over 55, and then the swine concludes by saying that I should feel complimented. But I did not.
No, so. It sounds like you were
good
harassed.
Take
the time to file the complaint, because if nothing else, it's on record that the ineffectiveness of the I'm going to just call it as it is, policing on the Max.
If
nothing else, it'll also give you a little satisfaction because you kind of have a clap back.
Good point. Very good point. And thanks for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling in. I could say a couple things about the honored citizen situation. Part of it is about the beeper system, which is a $50 million questionable thing that TriMet's implemented the last 2 years. Basically, they're trying to switch from paper monthly passes and paper tickets. And for Transit Riders Union and Gray Panthers, we want, as an option, the ability of transit riders to use both paper monthly passes and paper tickets. At the moment, the only place you can get those still are Pioneer Square, TriMet's office downtown.
Yep.
But
we want
Safeway and Fred Meyer to have those as well. One of the things is
plain free fare.
Well, right, yeah. And as a concession, as an intermediate step, the honored citizen paper passes say which month it is, so when I've talked to sellers of TriMet tickets at Fred Meyer and Safeway, they say the groups that are having those problems with the beeper system, which is problematic in several respects, is that immigrants, seniors and elders, and ESL people don't quite get the whole system. I don't know if you've tried using the beeper card. I've tried using
it. Now, when you say beeper card, do you mean the hop pass?
Correct. Their brand name for it, right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically the fare inspectors, in a way, they have a $10 million budget, roughly. When they fine people or ban people from the system for not having adequate ID, allegedly, or not paying fare, none of the money that gets collected goes to TriMet. So it's a loss leader. It's basically a way to police people and harass people. And I mentioned before Celeste came in, the successful lawsuit that Anna Valderrama did with ACLU unlawful search and seizure. The other thing on the honored citizen thing that's really important, I think, is the last fare hike that TriMet did, and this is part of the reason why some people started organizing at Portland State on TriMet, is the last fare hike was specifically targeted just against honored citizens, against elders and seniors. Now, it wasn't a lot of money, but you may already know about it from what you're saying. Barbara Ehrenreich talks about nickel and diming people. Mm-hmm. And so if you're on a limited income...
She also wrote Traveling with the Poor.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But it was basically odd because there is what we at Portland State have called an AstroTurf, non nonprofit group, recently defunded by one department at the City of Portland. It's called Elders in Action. But they supported the fare hike. And we just think that if your group's called Elders in Action, not Elders Out of Action or Against Action, that you should be supporting seniors, elders, and disabled riders who are also in honored citizens, and now some low-income people, in fighting fare hikes. And they not only didn't fight it, they supported it.
I think another way that
I'm surprised to hear that about Elders in Action. Sure. I had not known that they have done so many other good things,
right.
But I did not know that they supported the fare hike.
Right, and they also have equity issues. That's why Chloe and Sukri in Civic Life defunded them. They're still funded by the City of Portland, but a different department under Nick Fish.
I think we also have to be considering people with disabilities, no matter what their age.
Yeah.
There is the TriMet lift system, and that is inequitable. It's costing too much to run. It's not getting to enough people in enough neighborhoods. They're requiring people to know 24 or 48 hours ahead of time when they're going to have a medical crisis, when they don't know that. When you have a lot of invisible disabilities, it goes up and down. So you may think that you can walk to the bus stop, take the bus, and get to your doctor's appointment. When that day happens, you cannot. And then you are stuck with, and you don't have money for a Broadway cab or something like that. We can have better funding of the transit system and have more options, more places, and then have the TriMet door-to-door lift system for people with disabilities to include their care providers or family members that are now being excluded, their service animals that are with them, and have a shorter time frame, a better communication and system for signing up for people with disabilities, and a better recording. But also, when you have to wait, they could come anytime within an hour. It really makes it hard to get from lab to doctor's office to hospital to counselor to home. So we need to improve all of that. All of which
about picking up the prescriptions.
All of which would be better funded in a more just system than we have now, and result in more people getting to more places with transit, using solar electricity instead of pollution, and it'd be more just and a better economy. And we wouldn't be moving out further and further out of Portland, those that we most need in Portland but cannot afford to live here.
Related also in terms of looking at issues in terms of the lift system is the inadequate way in which the workers are supported or lack thereof in terms of the drivers. There's some equity issues around those that need to be addressed.
Right. There's been some protest about that. That sounds like Cecil's been keeping track of workers with Lyft who are the actual drivers and how fairly they're treated subcontracted via TriMet. And there's also, we have a really good organizer, a tenant organizer in a low income building who uses the Lyft because she's got a walker. And I waited one time with her before and after a meeting, and it was like 3 hours to get the time frame of when Lyft may or may not show up. Lyft tends to work when I've done ride-alongs with another person who's done organizing, that it's very time-consuming, and you may have three or four people in the same vehicle, and so you might go all over Portland trying to wait with that service with Lyft to get to where you're trying to go. So there's some problems both in terms of workers' rights as drivers, as well as whether, in fact, TriMet is complying with all aspects of ADA in terms of the Lyft, as well as these...
As travel logistics, it seems like there's an inability to plan to make it more efficient for the people who are on that particular bus if they're going to different places. And there's no reason to not run a route instead of an individual pickup system, because I used to use it for my father.
And it's also escalating a lot of invisible disabilities, crowding, perfumes, the high energy. Sometimes you can save up for 2 weeks the energy it takes to get to the doctor's office, but by the time you have all that time traveling with all that stress and the cold, your body, your brain can't work as well. So we need to be much more respectful. And by having more buses, more Macs, more rides, more stops for free to the riders, but funded by those who are most polluting the atmosphere, who are most harming workers, who are most rising rents to make people have to travel from out of far, and having the rent have to include for the percentage of every building, those percentages reflected by the percentages of those with those income levels, then we are not pushing people out that then have to take the transit in.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM.
See, did it to you too. Yes. KBOO.FM.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We're speaking about the Portland transportation, public transportation system, TriMet, with organizers from Portland Gray Panthers. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Hi, and thanks for the program. I'm learning so much more about TriMet, and I thought I was sort of informed. I wanted to weigh in about the express times for between here and outlying suburbs. When TriMet first opened, my husband at that time worked at Intel, and he wanted to be good to the earth and, you know, not take his car out there. But the number of stops, one, made him, he has a little bit of motion sickness. It made him completely nauseous, so he couldn't do any work while he was on the train. But all those many stops, I mean, the overwhelming, I think over half his time was spent from our house in inner northeast Portland to leaving actual downtown Portland. So there needs to be some setup for express, but to cut important stops like Saturday Market are just, I mean, that's crazy and cruel in my mind.
No,
and I do believe in free fares, but I'm wondering if we couldn't put in some kind of, like, you know, places like Intel, and my daughter also used to have to go to St. Vincent's, and they never, they didn't have buses after midnight, and the transit stop near St. Vincent's on Sunset Highway is, I would declare, unsafe for an individual alone at night, especially a young woman. It's way up off the road and off where anybody can see you if you're standing there waiting.
I agree. I've
so both
been to
of
that
my
stop.
Family had to choose other solutions.
Sure.
But I was wondering about these free buses and these free, these free passes and stuff that the corporations give to people who work there. And I was wondering, couldn't we put the corporations like Intel and all the other big ones that give people out bus passes, couldn't we have them just put that money into the budget to cover free fares for all?
I think so.
It's
and
one of the
it save the time that we're spending on checking fare and inspecting fare if we simply have those who are not paying their fair share of taxes, Intel, Nike, Boeing, you have a lot of corporations that are not paying their fair share. And if they do, put it into the larger system to make it free for everybody.
Yes, that's what I think should happen, because they can afford to help people commute. If it's free for everyone, they are incentivizing their employees right there by making it that way. And they can do other things. You know, a lot of them, I don't know if they still run shuttles from where you get off TriMet, but in the end, it would be an hour and a half from inner northeast Portland to get to work and each way. And that's just not practical. So they do need a solution for that. That's a huge population. It isn't just going one way. A lot of people prefer not to live out in Beaverton and live inner city and yet work out there. That's where they got their jobs.
Right. One of the things that I think would be really important for us to look at is to compare the number of riders who live out and take that long commute with the number of riders who actually need those inner city and downtown stops. And like you said, create an express vehicle. But also, I'm sure there are more riders who need those downtown stops than there are riders who are going long distance. And given the fact that TriMet only gets 20% thereabouts from their ridership, you think it would be easier for them to address the concerns of riders like this because, well, they don't get most of their money from riders. The here's a question for Lou and Edie, though. If you are an independent contractor, in the city of Portland, you pay into TriMet. Why don't the corporations pay?
They do.
Okay, what percentage do they pay?
Well, the budget item I've seen, which may not answer your question, Celeste, the budget item I've seen is what we've been talking about, which is 80% of all TriMet's revenue, $500 million or more, a billion, comes from corporate taxes.
Okay.
And in the state legislature, that was incrementally upgraded a bit a year or two ago. So most of the funding, kind of like what this caller was saying, is already from corporations. The question, though, is when you have incentivized thing, like at Portland State, students, faculty, staff, for a while can get discounted tickets.
Right.
But because some of us are thinking of transit, and if Portland wants to be truly a really great system, transit is kind of, we would argue, like public education, kind of, especially in a city that claims to be interested in sustainability, one way for there to be more equity. So, for example, I mean, part of the issues that I thought I would try to mention that hopefully address some of these things is I probably mentioned one of the board members left the board after a lack of affirmative action. There's never been in 50 years a TriMet a general manager or a board chair who is a woman or minority, and that's somewhat controversial about whether you can require that or that should be a goal. There's also the issue that's raised by the fair inspectors targeting people in terms of working with ICE and immigration, something that police agencies have been known to do and TriMet has been accused of doing as well. What else? Another proposal that I like, but I'm not aware that any groups or coalitions have advocated for it, is to ban cars downtown, which would increase sustainability, but also allow pedestrians, bicycles, transit, easier access than trying to go. I see bus drivers frequently trying to get the cars off of where the buses are supposed to be going.
Now, that's going to be a challenge, though, because if you're going to do away with cars in a certain area of downtown, you need to have a fairly square, because moderately income, we'll put it this way, people will need their cars to get them to work. Now, parking downtown is a problem, because even when I worked downtown, for example, in Wells Fargo building, there was no free or affordable parking. So my problem was either I paid and ran outside to the meters and moved my vehicle, or I paid an exorbitant amount for parking, which ate into my salary per hour. So if you're going to advocate for a carless square, so to speak, we should make that affordable to the folks who don't make a lot of money but need their car.
Exactly. In fact, in terms of the politics of TriMet, and we may have another caller, it looks like, but Transit Riders Union, Grey Panthers supporters, did a picket. We support direct action. And who we picketed was Portland Business Alliance, which is 200 Southwest Market, because Bernie Bottomley, when he was their coordinator for this issue, transit, he pushed and pushed and pushed to get rid of Fairless Square. That's why it might have been before you came in, Celeste, this morning, but as treasurer of Transit Writers Union, I laid out these paper 1,400 signature signed petitions in front of the TriMet board on their dais saying keep Fairless Square, and they voted 6-1 to get rid of it. But that would go hand in hand with having a carless area. And one of the reasons Fairless Square for transit was created in 1975, I believe,
was to bring business.
Well, and also to fight air pollution.
Mm-hmm.
So it hits all the things that Portland claims that as a liberal progressive thing it cares about. But the question is about implementation.
It's safer. It's cleaner. It's healthier. It's faster. It's more equitable. If we have no cars downtown mixed with free fare and better routes and buses,
yes.
And because of free fare, faster arrival at the next destination.
So let's talk about how these ideas become reality. How do we transform TriMet? How do we, if you believe that an elected board is preferable to the appointed board, what's the organizing that's taking place now, and what can people do to make it a more equitable system?
Well, if people have time and are interested in exploring the steps to do that, again, there is a meeting at Portland State this Saturday. It's at 4 p.m. at Chit Chat Cafe, which is 1907 Southwest 6th. It's next to Hot Lips Pizza on Green Max. When we've discussed this and researched it so far, there seems to be two tactics. Mm-hmm. One is because TriMet gets its funding approved at the state level, one theory would be to do a ballot measure or a lobby of the legislature to alter the structure of TriMet so that the board could be elected. I think the East Multnomah County Soil and Water District is elected, but TriMet with a $500 million budget isn't. So it seems like electability is one of the ways to get real power on the TriMet board. The other option is things that we've tried before, but perhaps not in sufficient numbers. Doing petitions, 1,400 people got voted down 6-1 to keep Fairless square. We also did a picket, probably a small picket with 20 people at PBA to keep Fairless square. And we think direct action and picketing is a really useful tactic to board members, to the TriMet board meetings. Transit is an interesting component in the equitable dynamic in community organizing. In Los Angeles, there has been a very active bus riders union. Eric Mann helped organize it, where there was tons of picketing and direct action. I think in Portland, because Portland's so active in some ways on a variety of issues, transit tends to be seen somewhat safely by the TriMet board, particularly the last three general managers, as it's their, bailiwick, their sinecure, their safe little zone that they really can just ignore. Having myself and Jason from Portland State, we've been to 30 TriMet board meetings, very boring. But we've noticed that group after group after group over the years, last 10 years, that go to TriMet board meetings, TriMet will listen, quote unquote, somewhat like the Portland police, and then vote the way they want to go anyway with the general manager. So I would say there's two tracks for that of how to alter the system. A state ballot measure lobbying the legislature to change the structure of TriMet. Most people don't know when we talk to people who are just transit riders at PSU, oh, you mean it's not elected? Why is that? It's a democracy, right? And I'm going, well, in this instance, no, it's not.
Democracy doesn't always apply to other segments of society. I think people sometimes don't understand the whole concept of democracy well enough to get that. So go ahead, Cecil.
So I was just going to ask for some clarity in terms of the current TriMet board.
Sure.
So it's appointed board by the governor?
Kate Brown, correct. Mm-hmm.
So she appoints all the members?
Yes.
By district.
By district. And what type of influence people might have with the governor?
Well, that's an excellent question. There's a great deal of debate among our coalition at PSU about how responsive Kate Brown is on given issues. Mm-hmm. Some of us are big fans of Kate Brown. I know that we filled out a 7-page application to have her speak in the fall at one of our meetings. And it's part of the way the capitalism of electoral politics works. Her focus was to outraise money against Newt Bueller. So I think they both raised $20 million, and that was the largest. And we weren't a group that was going to donate. We weren't, we didn't have Phil Knight sitting at Portland State saying, here's an equitable $2.5 million donation to Kate Brown's campaign. So Kate didn't come and talk to us then. We're working on trying to have, it looks like the Attorney General, Ellen Rosenblum, sounds like she's interested in talking at one of our meetings. So influencing Kate Brown or her successor.
I think one of the groups that does influence her and local county and city is their perception of environmentalists. Mm-hmm. On short call, we will get out there and be somewhere. She's making these claims about clean energy jobs. She's making claims about clean air. She's making claims about public health. And just having folks say transit is a housing issue. Transit is a health issue. Transit is a school funding issue. Transit is a climate environment issue. Transit is an economy livability issue. Transit is who gets to stay in office. And it's not just about money. It's also about people. Tom Potter and Joanne Hardesty were elected with lots of people and little dollars. We can do that again and prove the power of that. Now, Wednesday, March 20th, is this whole series of meetings start. If you want to look at trimet.org/meetings, they will have a variety of different meetings. There's a Committee on Accessible Transportation, Wednesday, March 20th. There is the Open House, March 22nd. There is the New Buses Get Involved Community Advisory Committee on March 21st. There is the TriMet Board of Directors, of course, is what I want everyone to show up, March 27th.
Let's stop right there because I want to comment on a couple of them, and I don't want to overwhelm people too much because they can go to trimet.org/meetings and get this.
Yes.
The committees that address these issues, do they allow public members, or are the committees only, again, selected and elected?
Well, the committee, yes, I know about is the Disability Committee, and uh-huh, our experience with them is similar to what I described a bit earlier, vis-a-vis the Elders in Action Group, which,
right,
supported the last fair hike just against seniors and disabled people. There's a woman who, she's pretty active locally. She works for Multnomah County. She chairs the Disability Committee. I went to the meeting for that fair hike targeting, and it was approved by TriMet Board, against elders and against disabled people. And what we found was that that particular disability committee, an official organ of TriMet, not elected, appointed, mm-hmm, voted 11-1 to endorse the fair hike. And this was supposed to be.
And who were these members of this committee?
Well, there are people that, it's a little bit like, I would argue, Home Forward, another government agency on housing, where you want to recruit people that are kind of happy to go along and get along, even though they might be from the subject population. What we were told by the person who voted against, wanted to support disabled and elder riders, who voted no on that committee, that subcommittee, mm-hmm, she said, well, we're not supposed to tell you this, but we get free bus passes for being on this committee.
Okay.
So that since it's not Donald Trump bribery, it's very small and incremental, but it's kind of massaging a loyal, apparent group that sort of represents. I mean, an opposite example.
A selected process of and a small amount of people who don't necessarily represent the interests they're supposed to.
Right. Well, there is.
Okay.
There
and
is,
you can also see the exact names and mm-hmm, the organizations or businesses that, okay, they say they're with. When you go to trimet.org/meetings, behind each committee, they will say committee members. For the Oregon House Bill 2017 Transit Advisory Committee, that's bringing in a whole lot more money that could be going for non-diesel buses and mm-hmm, trains, and how much is for fair equity, you know, that conflict.
So
that
we can write
do.
These people?
You can see on the back, format. It'll mm-hmm, say who they are, what they're officially representing, and they're some of the same old power folks, businesses. There are some labor representative, but we want to get more of the voices, other perspectives in there, too.
We have a short amount of time,
sure,
and
sorry.
So I want you to have the opportunity to tell again how people may contact you or how they might become involved.
Sure. And in that regard, I was just going to, in 20 seconds, mention that the current board chair used to be executive director of PDC, Portland Development Commission, which tends to represent traditional industry interests, has a new name now. It's a more trendy name. In terms of contacting, there's a meeting again at Portland State Chit Chat Cafe this coming Saturday at 4 p.m., 1907 Southwest 6th. Phone number 503-222-2974 for Gray Panthers and Transit Riders Union. Gray Panthers are also on Facebook for people who aren't boycotting. Portland Gray Panthers. And there's an email address, pob40011@juno.com.
Great.
Hey, thank you, Lou and Edie, for being so knowledgeable.
Yeah, and your advocacy.
And for standing up for those without voices or without the influence. Maybe someday... the governor might appoint you.
Or Cecil committee. Or Celeste.
But until then, continue organizing and making trouble the right way. You have been listening to More Talk Radio. I want to let you know that coming up here on KBOO right next is the Omo Variety Hour. At 10 is Locus Focus, Nicholas Caleb, staff attorney with the Center for Sustainable Economy and ConFarm, organizing director with OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon. We'll talk about what politicians and climate organizers mean when they talk about the Green New Deal. At 11 on Beloved Community, Hugh Turley returns to discuss his work uncovering the mystery of Thomas Merton's death on December 10th, 1968 in Bangkok, Thailand. All this KBOO programming is made possible by members such as yourself. And if you are not, shame on you, but you can correct that by going to kboo.fm and click on the button marked donate.
And become a member. Thank you all for listening and your calls to More Talk Radio. And stay connected to your community connection, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the world premiere of Jump, co-produced by Confrontation Theater and the Milagro Theater. The play runs from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater in Portland. Jump is the story of a 20-something who is reeling from the death of her mother. She is looking for solace in a good place to vape, but what she finds is a journey of self-discovery. Again, that's Jump. Every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall in Portland. The community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion will address the realities of climate breakdown and the expansion of fossil fuels infrastructure. The event will pose questions about oil train traffic along the Columbia River, impacts on First Nations, and more. Again, that's the community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall. 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Shut up.